You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire, smoke, Rodo. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Rodo Experts in the Morning starts now.
This is the Rodo Experts in the Morning. Alongside the fantasy executive, Corey Parson, the king, Scott Angle, and Wall Street, Matt Modica, I am Greg Sussman. Pleasure to have you aboard this morning as we get going here in week one of the full NFL preseason. What's going on, CP?
Ain't nothing much. Like you said, week one of the NFL preseason, so we got a lot of stuff to get into. I'm showing some people heading into drafts this weekend, so definitely happy about that. It is that time of year, and now we got this Ezekiel Elliott thing. So we got some drama and some intrigue to add to the mix. So definitely looking forward to breaking it down and helping people win their chip. You know what I'm saying?
Wall Street, how's it hanging, man?
It's going good. Full slate of games to review. Games ahead tonight, tomorrow. It's just everything you want right now.
Everything you want as you get started and get ready for your fantasy football draft. But we have to start at the top, right? We have to start with the headline news, which is that Ezekiel Elliott's suspension could finally be coming, could be coming down today. Ezekiel Elliott here could be suspended up to 6 games is what Ian Rappaport is reporting.
That's crazy.
We don't know what for exactly. We don't know the details, but the biggest rumor is that Zeke could be suspended for 6 games for the Dallas Cowboys.
It's no way in hell they're going to let Ezekiel Elliott miss 6 games this year. They will be in New York. It'll be a subpoena up at Roger Goodell up here at the offices for the NFL in no time. Suspend him for 2 games, appeal it, he gets one, not worried about it. Suspend him for 6 games, you'll hear from his attorneys, and they'll go into court, and he won't get suspended until next year.
Here's a few layers to this, though. Now, first off, to
Six
you know,
games.
On his side,
stop
you know
it.
The authorities didn't find anything. Okay,
I don't know why Roger Goodell think he's bigger than the police all the time.
Hold on, if it is 6 games, that means that something was found that maybe the authorities haven't uncovered, or you know that they're considering. But at the same time, he can appeal it. He can trim it down. We saw Le'Veon Bell be able to legal it up and trim it down. But I don't know if we can freak out about 6 games just yet. I understand because you're a Dallas fan, you will, but that, you know, if it is 6 games, it has to be, like Greg pointed this out the last hour on radio, if it's 6 games, there's got to be something significant attached to it.
Yeah, but we would have heard of it. We would have heard it by now. It would have been something.
We don't know what the NFL
there.
Has found, though.
What the hell are they going to find?
We don't know.
Huh?
We don't know.
They didn't find nothing, Scott.
The authorities didn't find anything.
The NFL. What is the NFL going on? The NFL is the judge, jury, and executioner. Who does Roger Goodell think he is?
We don't know.
Fire his ass. I'm sick of him.
We will see when it comes to Ezekiel Elliott and how it affects fantasy football drafts. Obviously, for Corey right now, it didn't. He was willing to select Ezekiel Elliott at number 4 overall in the first round. I'd like to see if the suspension becomes final, him do that, but we'll see in the coming days. We have a mini mock draft going on right now. The first 13 picks have been gone. We will go through the next round here in a little bit. We'll also hit on some of the highlights from last night in the preseason, including how great Mitchell Trubisky looked and DeShone Kizer as well. The Rodo Experts in the Morning is up and running. Stick around. We'll be back right after this.
In 2016, Scott Engel predicted an impressive second season from Melvin Gordon. Jake Seeley recommended Jordan Howard. Bobby McMahon forecasted a Jay Ajayi breakthrough. George Kurtz saw a big year coming from Matt Ryan. And Joe Galina picked Rishard Matthews as one of his top sleepers. These predictions turned fantasy owners into champions, and the same crew returns this year with more savvy calls in the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package at rotoexperts.com. Don't miss the calls that create winners. Register now and enter free radio at checkout for a special discount.
Fantasy Sports Radio Network. This is the Roto experts in the morning. Guys, last night we saw some fantastic performances from Mitchell Trubisky, who I'm ready to put in the Hall of Fame. He looked amazing for the Chicago Bears up and down the field. And it wasn't just against the second and third stringers that impressed me. It was that poise in the pocket, Matt.
Yeah, no, he was making throws, I mean, on the run, rolling out. Look, he's not playing against first-teamers, but there's certain things you can't teach, certain things you can't do. I'm sold. I'm sold after what I saw last night. Look, he's going to stumble and have some troubles ahead, of course.
What do you mean you sold?
I think he should be their starting quarterback.
Week one.
I mean, look, if it was a different team that had, you know, that was set for, you know, a playoff ready team, then maybe, but what do they have? Mike Glennon? Look, I think Glennon's a good backup, but I think they got killed on draft night. And I think this is going to wind up paying off for them.
Yeah, but just like he dude just played, this is like his 16th game he started in his whole career.
Okay, but
I understand what I'm saying, man. But I don't want to. Let's slow down with Trubisky. You feel what I'm saying?
Let's pull it back. But there's certain things you can't teach. You can't teach the point. You can't teach the throw. The guy was dropping dimes. Everything I saw, you don't see that usually from a rookie. I don't care if he started 13 games or 30 games in college. It really impressed me.
Yeah, he did look good. Nice play action fakes, rolling him out, you know, things like that. Moving the pocket, they did a nice job of that. And we've seen, you know, with Russell Wilson and Dak Prescott that...
Don't put them in the category of... Mitchell Trubisky does not have the pedigree of those guys.
Let me finish my statement, please.
Please.
Russell Wilson and Dak Prescott have proved to us that the preseason should not be necessarily ignored when it comes to these guys. Now, there's the other side of it, though, and that it is just one preseason game. Trubisky could easily come out next week and not look good. So with Dak Prescott last year, I was like, okay, you look great in one preseason game, you know, but I'm not ready to, you know, anoint this guy yet. And I wasn't ready to do that with Russell Wilson either when he looked really good in his first preseason game. And I think I have to wait. I was as impressed as Matt was, maybe not quite as much as Greg was. But I think after one preseason game, I'm not ready to anoint him yet.
But there's a difference between just throwing a really good deep ball and be able to make certain throws. Not all quarterbacks can do it. So, like I said, he will have his stumbles and, you know, hardships. Every rookie. Look what Peyton Manning went through his rookie season. But I'm looking at a team. I'm looking at the depth chart at quarterback. Mike Glennon is really on a one-year deal here with the Bears as well, so...
It's clear Mitchell Trubisky is the future in Chicago, and I think you have a major reason to be encouraged, if nothing else, about that future. And the same can be said, Corey Parson, for the Cleveland Browns, because Deshaun Kizer also looked pretty good last night. And ultimately, I thought Trubisky looked better from what I saw. I know I didn't watch the game film, but, you know, nevertheless, I thought he looked good. Chris Burke of SI was in Cleveland last night. I read this to you guys off the air. I wanted to read it on the air as well, because he watched up close what Deshaun Kizer looked like, and he said this, quote, "He wasn't as good overall as those highlight radio plays made it seem, but it's pretty obvious the upside is much higher than Kessler and Osweiler. The arm is legit. We mostly knew this, but it helps to see it again. Forget the deep balls. He really drives it to the sidelines. The big challenge now is the internal clock and his pocket feel. He bailed too early a couple times, but he also got stuck in the pocket more than once. The Browns didn't have Joe Thomas tonight. With him, the O-line is good enough to lean on early. The high sack total allowed in 2016 was misleading. It's too early to say if Deshaun Kizer will start week one. I still think the Browns prefer they didn't, but there's a chance, a better chance than there was 24
hours
ago.
I think Deshaun Kizer, I've been saying this for a while now, I think Kizer's the week one starter. You got the quarterback whisperer and Hugh Jackson out there. He has a blank canvas in Deshaun Kizer that he can work with. And also, what he does to the offense is unpredictable. So I'm satisfied with Kizer right quick. Got a tweet. This is about an hour ago. NFL is investigating Ezekiel Elliott for domestic violence. Domestic violence violations are 6 games. They can be increased or decreased depending on circumstance.
That's Schefter, by the way.
This is Adam Schefter. So this is a domestic violence investigation that will be decreased because the Columbus Police Department, obviously Roger Goodell has more authority than the Columbus Police Department. So apparently, I didn't know this.
Well,
this is news to me.
Wait a minute. Listen. I know this is not as big of a name, but Josh Brown had all his issues written in his journal. He was not arrested. He didn't go to jail. None of that.
Uh-huh.
And he's never played in the NFL the rest of his life.
He's a kicker. This is
wait a minute.
But they don't change.
Huh?
But they don't change.
Violence.
They don't change
the
different
violence that he was not charged with. Greg, there was no charge.
But just because you're not charged, I mean, look, Jose Reyes' wife dropped charges.
You Ray know, Rice's wife dropped charges.
Yeah. Dropped charges.
So did Ray Rice.
Nothing. Nobody here was ever charged. It was no charges to drop.
Okay, but they could have went to. They could have did their investigation, and she's like, "No, not that." You know, things change from the heat of the moment. They look back. People don't want to, you know, ruin somebody's life, and that's all I'm trying to say. I'm not. I don't know what they have, what they don't have.
What they've seen.
I'm just trying
know.
To play devil's advocate here.
Corey, I got to ask you this.
Yo,
I got to ask you this. If, let's say, this was Odell Beckham Jr.
It doesn't make a difference, Scott.
Would you
it's
be
not
doing
fair.
This as passionately?
It's not fair, Scott. That's the thing. Roger Goodell is not Jesus. He can't do this.
Actually, he can't.
It doesn't make no sense. So take him to court then. Take the NFL to court.
Are you
and
only
he
going to
serve one game suspension.
Are you only doing this because you're a Cowboys fan?
No, because it's not right. I don't like
you
Roger
did,
Goodell.
You didn't do this over Ray Rice.
He need to. What are you talking about? Ray Rice, you saw the video?
There were no charges filed.
Did you see?
Of course I saw the video.
You saw the video
of
that
I saw
horrific
the video.
Incident.
Of course.
That was a video to go along with that.
It was
the
a
only video we've seen of Ezekiel Elliott is him popping something out of somebody's brassiere. A person that he knew, for as a matter of fact. So, you know what I'm saying? I'm not, listen, don't
and
give me this.
Talking about the Josh
First
Brown
of all,
thing,
Roger
it doesn't
Goodell,
matter
Roger,
what position
Roger Goodell,
it is.
You know what you need to be doing? You need to be talking to the Baltimore Orioles, the Baltimore Ravens, because they got that bum, they're sending that bum Ryan Mallett out there, and they refuse to sign Colin Kaepernick, and they're going to talk to Ray Lewis about it. Ask Ray Lewis where that white suit is at from Atlanta from a couple years ago. Man, Roger Goodell better stop playing with me.
Yeah, but it's just the NFL's past history here on domestic violence is
terrible.
So poor.
Terrible.
It's so poor, and at some point they have to take a stand. It's an issue that everybody, you know, can relate to. It's an issue that cannot be tolerated. So I don't know what they have. So I'm not going to play judge, jury, or, you know, make a pre-notion here until I know the facts and everything's laid out.
And here's something excellent that you point out. You said they might take a stand. Here's a high-profile player on a very high-profile team. They might want to make an example of him.
I think that
a high-profile team that will have the NFL right in court next week. Let's do it.
Like, you really do sound very biased right now.
It's the truth, though, okay. Greg. It doesn't make no sense.
Of course,
what do they
it
do?
Makes sense. You,
well, how
you
does it make sense?
Had?
The Columbus Police Department. This thing has been over. It's been over.
You have no idea what they have.
But what if
I guarantee
what if
they don't have
different
nothing.
Situation? What if it's not that one?
We'd have heard about it already.
I would assume yes.
With everything else, when he get in a car accident and bump his head on the dashboard, we hear about that. When he gets accused of throwing a punch in a nightclub, we hear about that. So you mean to tell me he's out there doing domestic violence things, but we didn't hear about this? Come on.
I've never heard you speak so passionately about Roger Goodell or any of these suspensions.
Roger Goodell's
until now.
A clown.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree with you, Scott.
Yeah.
I really do. The ultimate question becomes where you draft Ezekiel Elliott in fantasy football drafts. Corey, who had the pick, drafted him 4 overall. I want to go to you two now here as we'll go back to the mini mock in a moment. Matt Modica, where did you draft Ezekiel Elliott?
I don't know. I'm taking Julio and Beckham. I've been doing this, too. This is not like something I've had opportunities when he's fallen. And for me, I'm just not going to play that. I don't know. If I know it's only 1 or 2 games, I can take him at 4. I mean, I was taking Brown at 3 regardless, before there was any suspension or not. So for me, it's not worth the risk here. I just you don't know. There's too much out there that's unknown. Why play with that?
Scott Engel, where would you take Ezekiel Elliott?
If I was drafted today, and you know, now this new news about possibly 6 games, I'd probably drop him towards the end of the first round, at least.
So even if he gets suspended 6 games, you'll take him at the end of the first round?
You know what? It's tough. You know, that's kind of a reactionary answer for me, and I apologize for that. He can appeal the thing, too, and it can get trimmed. So
but
it's very, very hard for me.
If he gets 6, I agree with Scott. It'd probably go down to like 4 or maybe even 3.
If it's 4 or 3, end of the first round.
Well, you see, the thing, but here's the problem, though.
Wait, let me say one thing. I know you're going to go
we
off.
We can't appeal our draft. You feel what I'm saying? We still got to get on the clock. It's not going to pull the draft. Yeah.
The NFL is so embracing fantasy football. Do the thing for us players and, you know, resolve this already so we don't already know.
Well, they should do it for the Cowboys. They should do it for the franchise that's in the league.
It's a joke.
Ultimately, Corey's right. We can't appeal our draft. We have to get this right. And I'm very, very nervous if I'm drafting tomorrow to take Ezekiel Elliott. I am legitimately petrified. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We get into round two of the mini mock draft here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things, just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
The mini mock continues here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. And now we have players to pair up with other players, which I think will make this a lot of fun. Because at pick 12, to end this first round, I'll give you the first round once again. Le'Veon Bell went 1, David Johnson 2, Tony Brown 3, Zeke Zaccori went 4, Odell Beckham 5, Julio 6, Mike Evans 7, A.J. Green, 8, LeSean McCoy, 9, Devontae Freeman, 10, Melvin Gordon, 11, Jordy Nelson, 12. That was your first round. Anything egregious stand out to you, Corey?
Nothing that really stands out about that. That's a standard first round. We've been talking about this for a while now. See the big backs in the top of the draft. We see the wide receivers in the middle. And you get Melvin Gordon, Devontae Freeman towards the back end. Julio Jones, Michael Thomas. I mean, you know, Jordy Nelson, Michael Thomas also towards that back end. So that's a standard fantasy football draft first round.
Then I started the second round by selecting Michael Thomas to pair up with Jordy Nelson. That is 12 and 13.
Are you comfortable with that on the 1-2 turn in a regular draft?
If this was real, this is what I would really do.
All right, bet.
Yeah, I would absolutely pair up Jordy Nelson and Michael Thomas because I feel like the value at 12 and 13 is just too good to pass up with those two true wide receiver ones that I'd be getting.
I'd sign up for that every time.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay.
My first round guide on rotoexperts.com exclusive edge package.
Available now.
Enter the king at checkout for the special discount. I go DeMarco Murray.
That scenario.
I feel like, to me, he is the best true RB1 left that I don't have any questions about.
I agree with that. And as I kind of stated when I made the
pick.
And
then I'll take a wide receiver.
I was between DeMarco Murray would have been the running back I selected.
Yeah.
But like I said, I thought the value and the talent was too good to pass up with those two guys. But I completely understand the Murray sentiment.
I completely understand where you're coming from.
All right, Corey. You're
all right, let's
next.
Do it.
You are pairing up Melvin Gordon with who in the second round?
Well, no, I got Zeke and Melvin Gordon.
No. It's completely separate.
All right.
Now, this is the 11th pick. You had the 11th pick in this draft. On the turn, Jordy and Michael Thomas went. So you have Melvin Gordon. Melvin Gordon goes to who in the second round?
All right, so I take Melvin Gordon in the first, and then just give me the kid, the second year wide receiver out there in New Orleans.
You don't have him. He's gone.
He's gone. Who? Oh, you took him.
That's right. Jordy Nelson is paired with Michael Thomas.
You know what? This might sound crazy. You know what? I see my guy sitting up here. I'm going to take Dez Bryant. We already know the Dallas Cowboy offense, Ezekiel Elliott, Dez Bryant, Little Witten, Little Cole Beasley when Dez is hurt, not worried about nothing else. They run the offense through those players. Dez Bryant's double-digit touchdown, scoring wide receiver, throw up the X.
There you go. So Dez Bryant, the next wide receiver on Corey's board, he pairs him up with Melvin Gordon. Would you be happy starting Melvin Gordon and Dez Bryant?
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't have no problem with that.
No issue with that. Okay.
No problem with that. That's 20 touchdowns right there.
Scott, you are up next. You have Devontae Freeman on your team already. He was your number 10 overall pick. You are on the clock now. Who would you pair Devontae Freeman up with?
Cooper Kupp.
You know, to have Jay Ajayi as a running back, too, is really, really appealing. And the same thing about Jordan Howard.
What about
as well.
DeMarco Murray?
Yeah, what about
you just talked up.
Oh, I thought Murray was. I'm sorry.
Why
I
is everyone listening to my draft?
I'm sorry. A little confused. I'm sorry. easily DeMarco Murray for me.
Scott, are you ready for tomorrow, Scott? Scott?
I can't wait to see Corey's grading.
Are you ready for tomorrow's draft? Do you want to stay after with me today to go over some notes to be
Corey,
ready for the flex tomorrow?
Corey, I've done a million drafts before I met you. Just because I screwed up once here, like you say, can I make a mistake? I'm human.
So, Scott, my question is, at that 10 spot, you have paired up Freeman and Murray. I can't imagine that's what you wanted to happen. You wanted to get one of these wide receivers, Nelson Thompson.
You know what? I'm
Bryant
just taking the
back.
Best player of the board. Murray over 1,600 yards from scrimmage last year and a dozen total touchdowns. He is still the crux of his offense. I'm taking the best player left on the board, and then my next two picks are definitely wide receivers.
Are you comfortable, Matt, if you had that 10 spot, are you comfortable not getting a wide receiver with either of your first two picks if the running backs that you get are Freeman and Murray?
It can be done. You can go that route. I think you'll get enough receptions there, and then you can just go wide receiver heavy. Like, I'm looking, I took McCoy at 9.
And then you're up now.
And I'm up now, and if Andrew Luck's healthy, I have no problem. I mean, I think
but
Corey.
But you're drafting right now.
No. I think Corey would have took T.Y. there, and I would have got Dez.
I agree.
Here, I even have Baldwin one spot ahead of Dez, but as my number one start, I love Baldwin as that number two.
Okay.
That solidification, the foundation piece there. So not having Hilton, not going the Hilton route is what I probably would, if I'm thinking about it now, I'm probably taking Jordy or Thomas. Because Hilton's not there now anymore.
Correct. So
he's there, but I'm not taking him.
So you're sitting here with LeSean McCoy. What do you do?
Yeah, no. So
this is the exact spot. This is that 8 spot. You took LeSean McCoy, or 9 spot, rather.
Yeah.
This is that 9 spot, which you like. You took McCoy. What do you do here?
That's why I'm going to say take the wide receivers. I'm going to tell you because go that route. You can get if you want that bell cow, you can get that Howard. Or Ajay
in the second round.
Yeah,
I don't think they're bell cows in my opinion. Howard and Ajay.
That's fine.
Different opinion there.
That's fine. Look, I believe there's a top 7 running back class,
right.
And then you do go to another tier. But for me, if Cooper's got this leg thing, he's been out for a week. I have my boy McCoy. You know what? I'm going to go Brandon Cooks here. I'm going to go Brandon Cooks. I've been the guy pounding the table, as we like to say, as I say, not to say, on the station. But the last 2 years, weeks 1 to 16, the 12th wide receiver, number 12 in PPR, number 7 last season, he does not need 150 targets. He's never gotten more than 125 targets. He puts up 1,100 yards every year, 8-9 touchdowns. He's with the Patriots. I'll take him.
By the way, in the Roto Experts mock, I did go Murray and Freeman.
That's why we were like,
I got Terrell Pryor as my number one wide receiver, and I was fine with it.
Okay.
Also, when you say bell cow, just for the audience's edification, there's a difference between a real NFL bell cow and a fantasy bell cow. Real NFL bell cow, Ajayi and Howard are real NFL bell cows because they get most of their work. A fantasy bell cow is a different definition. He's that guy that you really want to hitch your wagon to and feel comfortable with.
Matt, you selected AJ Green with 8 in the first round.
Good job,
now
Matt.
You got your wide receiver. You have your wide receiver. I have to imagine here you're going to go with Jair or Howard, I would think.
You know what? I'm gonna go with Howard here. Just the whole – look. It's a concussion. It's the first week. That really shouldn't be anything. The Jay Cutler coming in and stuff. I just... What Howard was able to do last season, I don't think you go wrong either, Ajayi or Howard. I'm going to lean Howard today. I've gone back and forth in these two players, so I don't think there's a right or a wrong. So for me, it would be Howard.
Scotty, you're up next. Mike Evans was the first-round selection for this team. Who would you make the second-round selection?
All right, Ajayi and Howard are both off the board.
Incorrect.
Ajayi's on the board.
Ajayi's on the board. I can't let him slip any further. I realize that, you know, a lot of his fame has been made on the Buffalo Bills' backs. You know, sorry, it's just true.
Gave Madika a little rib shot.
No, it's true. If he wasn't here, I would say the same thing. If Mike Florio was here, I would definitely say it. But, you know, I think he's going to be more consistent this year. I do worry about health with him because he's very violent style, but... You know, in the second round, I just can't let a player of that caliber slip to me anymore. If he's able to stay healthy, this guy is definitely going to be a top fantasy back this year.
There
for
you
sure.
go. J.J. paired up with Mike Evans. Up next was me. Corey and I made the trade.
Yep.
So Julio Jones was my first round pick here. And I think this is an interesting spot. Ultimately, for me, do I take a running back like a Todd Gurley here? Do I pull him up in this second round? Remember, I already have Julio Jones. Or do I wait around? I think what I'm going to do is probably wait the round. I know he's been out for a week. I'm still going to take Amari Cooper to pair up with Julio Jones at the spot. I'm going to go with Julio and Amari Cooper here with my pick.
All right, so now it's back on me, right?
So you have Odell Beckham right now.
I have Odell Beckham.
That's it.
Well, I didn't draft him.
You did. That's the next pick. That's after Odell. You have Zeke 4, Odell 5. So Odell is in that fifth spot. Who are you?
So now I'm coming back on around on the back end because sure. I want to show roster construction. But do I have a team built up?
Besides, all you have is Odell Beckham.
All I have is Odell Beckham, and I'm in the second round.
Yes, sir.
And I'm okay. So this is exactly what I'm talking about right here.
Yep.
I would like to go bell cow theory and get a running back right here.
Right.
But I'm not taking Jordan Howard.
Jordan Howard's gone.
I wouldn't have took Jordan Howard.
Are you ready to do this?
Good one, Scott. I wouldn't take the other
guy. J.J. is gone too.
J.J. is gone too. So you know right there that those two players are off my board. When I come back around right here, listen, I mean, I would expect Brandon Cooks to be here. That would have been my pick. So I'll go Doug Baldwin.
You'll go Doug Baldwin to pair with Odell Beckham.
I love the Doug Baldwin with Julio or Beckham. I think you just have such nice a job. Floor.
That was between Cooper and Baldwin, for the record. All right, Ezekiel Elliott now is on your team.
Yeah.
You have no idea what the deal is with him. Who do you pair up with Ezekiel Elliott?
So now I have Ezekiel Elliott, right? Yes, and sir. I have nobody else on the team
Correct.
But Ezekiel Elliott.
Correct.
At this spot right here,
yes.
This is when I would do it. I would pull Isaiah Crowell into the second round. I'm pulling him into the second round, number one, because I like him as an RB. I like him as an RB1. But the thing about it is, on this team, I already have Ezekiel Elliott, who we don't know what the situation is going to be. So I'm going to put Isaiah Crowell, so this way it gives me some cushion if I got to deal with a two-game suspension for Ezekiel Elliott. And then I know I can hammer them wide receivers coming back in rounds three, four, and five. I'm still going to be able to get some action there. So I will willing to start running back in this scenario with Ezekiel Elliott and Isaiah Crowell.
At this spot, I have Antonio Brown. I'm looking at the board. The guys in front of me each have a running back. David Johnson and Le'Veon Bell. For me, the guy I think I really want at this spot, because the wide receivers, my top wide receivers are all gone. My top 11 wide receivers are all off the board except for one. Do I take the shot on T.Y. Hilton here? For me, I'm looking in front of me. Bell's been taken. David Johnson's been taken. I think I do. I'm going to take T.Y. Hilton.
Who's on your team already?
Antonio Brown. T.Y. Hilton will be my wide receiver too.
I don't have a problem with that.
I think I'm going to take T.Y. Hilton.
Play the long game. You got to love it.
Play the long game and potentially have two awesome wide receivers. We'll come back. We'll finish up the mini mock. And we'll get to Is Mike Lyon when we return here on the Roto Experts in the Morning.
Many fantasy football players are focusing on their upcoming drafts later this summer. But the smart fantasy owner knows there's another big draft before the one where you pick the players. The first step in building a winner for the 2017 season is to draft the best team of experts for your preseason prep. So make the right selection and pick the squad at rotoexperts.com by purchasing the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. The Roto Experts roster features FSWA Inaugural Hall of Famer and former Fantasy Football Writer of the Year Scott Engel, nationally acclaimed top ranker Jake Seeley, 2015 and 16 FSWA award winners Bobby McMahon and Brandon Murchison, and many more analysis with impressive stats. They bring you a draft package bursting with all-pro analysis and in-season coverage that'll guide you to title glory. So pick the team to help you build the right team. Make your first important selection of the 2017 season now and get the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package from rotoexperts.com. Be sure to enter promo code FREERADIO at checkout for your discount.
Let's wrap up the mini mock, and as we do, Corey Parson, he's not here, which means we have a replacement for Corey Parson.
Upgrade.
In studio, the All-In Ken! Jake Silly. Jakey, you're on TV, man. What's going on?
I'm trying to turn down Corey's freaking death headphones.
Yeah, he listens to it very loud.
Death metal.
He listens to it very loud.
Oh, my God.
He likes to listen to himself very loud.
I do want to get to East Mike Lyon, guys, and Jake will talk in a second. So I want to wrap up this draft. Scott, you have David Johnson, 2 overall. Who do you pair up with him?
I'm not going any of the running backs here, I don't think.
Okay.
I'll wait.
Okay.
And I am going to be very confident this guy is going to be a touchdown maker, had a lot of receptions and a lot of yardage for an inferior team last year. Did 7 guys play quarterback, and he was one of them. I'm taking Terrell Pryor here.
Get his guy.
I'm going to go Sammy Watkins.
And you'll go Sammy Watkins pair up with Le'Veon Bell. All right, so there we go. There's the 2-round mock. We're going to refer to this in the coming days and weeks here on the Roto Experts, because I think there's a lot here to take away. Of course, it all changes, but nevertheless, I hope that helps you in your draft spots, your first 2 where you could look at. Jakey, what's going on?
Not too much.
How was your bus ride?
It's terrible.
Okay, fantastic. Well, let's maybe make your morning a little bit less terrible, because you are stepping into the chamber. You're about to join Is Mike Lyon. You don't have a computer to close, so that's good. No. But Mike Florio is not in the house today, so we have a special guest host.
Which is?
It's Greg, me!
Is Greg, oh, okay. Greg Lyon.
John Burns! Hit the music, baby! Scott Engel, you're the defending champion. We don't say that often around here, but you are the defending champion. Where would you like to go? Remember, there's only 3 players today. That changes it.
Okay. I'm going to go 3rd.
You're going to go 3rd?
Yes.
Which means the all-in kid is up first. Let's do it. Are you ready?
Yeah, sure.
Matthew Stafford led the NFL with 8 game-winning drives last year.
True.
That is true, says Jake. Matt?
I'm going to go true as well.
True, says Matty Moe. Scotty?
False.
False, says the king. I'm making the scoreboard here. That means Scott is immediately at a deficit, because Matt Stafford did lead the league in game-winning drives with 8. That is true. 1 point for Jake, 1 point for Matt, as we quickly head to question number 2. Matt, Jameis Winston led the NFL in fumbles last year.
I'm going to say true.
True. Scotty.
False.
False. Jake.
False.
False. Scotty, you picked up your point, and Jake's now in the lead. That is false. However, let me give the points out. There were, 2 players that had more fumbles than Jameis Winston last year. Matt, you went first, of course. It is on you. And I'll tell you this, because why not? Jameis Winston had 10 fumbles last year. 2 players had more. Can you name one, Matt?
I'm not going to say Mark Sanchez. Jared Goff.
Jared Goff is not correct. Scott.
Blake Bortles.
Blake Bortles is not correct. Jake.
Brock Osweiler.
It is not Brock Osweiler either. We'll go around once more, Matty.
About this? Russell Wilson?
It is not Russell Wilson. Scott.
Cam Newton.
It is not Cam Newton.
Good grief. Eli Manning.
It is not Eli Manning. The point is null and void. Could have said anybody with the name Carson, because Carson Palmer and Carson Wentz each had 14 last year.
Russell don't turn the ball over like that.
I didn't say he was turned over, he said a fumble. Technically, he didn't have to turn over, to be fair. All right, Jake, you have a 2-1 lead on both of your competitors as we head to question number 3. Scotty, this is yours first. Drew Brees led the NFL in interceptions in the red zone last year.
True.
True. Jake.
False.
False.
I'm going false.
You're going false. Scott Engel, you went different than anybody else, and it did not pay off. As Jake and Matt get the points, Jake is actually perfect in questions today. Drew Brees, Matt Stafford, Joe Flacco, Alex Smith, Matt Barkley all had 3 interceptions in the red zone last year. 1 player had more.
You run that list one more time?
Drew Brees?
Yeah.
Matthew Stafford?
All right, never mind.
Joe Flacco?
That was the one.
Alex Smith and Matt Barkley all had 3 interceptions in the red zone. Scott first. All had 3 interceptions in the red zone last year. 1 player had more. Can you name him?
Phillip Rivers.
It was not Phillip Rivers.
That was actually where I was going, so thank you, Scott. That's my guess. I'll go back to Eli.
It was not Eli Manning.
I was going to go Eli. Jameis Winston?
It was not Jameis Winston, Scotty.
Blake Bortles.
It was not Blake Bortles.
You think interceptions, you think just Blake Bortles.
He's going to die on that hill.
Carson Palmer?
It was not Carson Palmer.
Ryan Fitzpatrick.
It was Ryan Fitzpatrick. Fitzpatrick had six of them.
You think turnovers, you think Jets.
It was six of them as Matt Modica picks up the point and goes into a first place tie with Jake at three apiece. Scotty, two back with one. Jake, you're up next with question number four. Screw his stupid facts. It's my show today. According to Snapple Facts.
Not Uber Facts.
You burn more calories sleeping than you do watching TV.
True.
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 It is true. You guys are all knew that. That was
easier
good.
Easier than Uber Facts.
That was good. Easier than Uber Facts. All right. Are you ready, Matt? Question number five. Cameron Meredith led all qualifying receivers with three fumbles last year.
True.
False.
False.
Matt Modica goes opposite his competitors, and it pays off. It is true for Matt Modica. Modica takes the lead 5-4-2 as we head to question number six, and I'm extremely happy Jake is here for this one. Question number six. Outside of Matt Bryant, Steven Gostkowski led the NFL in extra points last year.
False.
True.
I think he led the league and missed extra points. I'm going to say false.
It is, in fact, false. Jake does not get a point there. Matt and Scott both do. There was one player that had more, other than Matt Bryant, who led the league, which we knew about. I think Florida told us that last week. Dan Bailey and Steven Gostkowski both have had 46 extra points last year. One player had more other than Matt Bryant. Scott, do you know who it is?
Dustin Hopkins.
It was not Dustin Hopkins.
No clue here. Josh Lambeau.
It was not Josh Lambeau.
I have two guesses. I'm going to go Caleb Sturgis.
Not Caleb Sturgis. Scotty.
What the hell is the kicker from Kansas City's name? Cairo Santos.
It was not Cairo Santos.
Yeah, that. I don't know if they scored enough touchdowns. I don't know. I'm out of kickers that I can even think of because they don't play freaking kickers.
We know.
Hashka.
It was not Steven Hashka.
Nick Novak.
It was not Nick Novak. This is a really tough one. I've been shocked that you guys got it.
Will Lutz.
Will Lutz. It was Will Lutz. Unfortunately, you're not going to point. Oh, damn it.
I actually thought of him. I couldn't remember if he kicked the entire year for the Saints.
It was Will Lutz, Scotty. Unfortunately,
you
just
half point.
Missed it. Oh, that's out of the range, obviously. You get two choices. You get two guesses.
Bring Florio back.
You're with Cairo. You're with Cairo Santos.
Now, where is Florio?
Without Bavona here, he's working a later shift.
This game is going so fast with you hosting it, too. The pacing is different because Florio would have been like,
he also jinxed me. With that was perfect.
Florio would have been like, who is the kicker besides Matt Bryant?
Number seven. Cheeky. Tyrod Taylor led the NFL in sacks last season. Sacks taken last season.
Yeah.
False.
True.
False.
It was true. The Bills fan knew it. The Bills fan knew
it. I had no hesitation.
There was no hesitation.
Where was Luck?
I don't have that up here. Oh. Sorry. That is correct, Matt. He knew it immediately. Tyrod Taylor. Score update. Matt kicking everybody's ass. Yeah. 7 for Matt. 4 for Jake. Scott with 3. There is still time to
nothing
catch up.
Nothing since you opened your mouth.
There is Matt still Modica time winning. To catch up. Number 8. Matt Modica, according to Snapple Facts, the world's first escalator was built in Staten Island in 1896.
I gotta go true here, regardless of what it is. True.
False.
I say false. I hope you're like messing up just like a small fact of it.
It is false. It is not true. It was not built in Staten Island in 1896.
Staten Island,
nobody. It was 1896, though. The problem was, it wasn't Staten Island. Matt Modica, where was the first escalator built in 1896?
Queens.
It was not Queens, no.
Williamsburg, Brooklyn.
It was not Williamsburg, Brooklyn.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I don't understand the whole Queens, like, not Queens.
It was not Queens.
I'm not familiar enough in New York to know that they're like there's probably, like, a subsection that you're trying to hint at here, so.
Well, you said borough, so. I mean,
I didn't say borough.
Well, Staten Island is a borough, so.
Staten Island is a borough, that's true.
Yeah.
It was not Staten Island.
Bronx?
It was not the Bronx. Matt.
Manhattan?
It was not Manhattan.
Long Island.
It was not Long Island.
Brooklyn.
It was... The answer is that was not specific enough for me. The answer we were looking for was Coney Island. Not Staten Island, it was Coney Island. Yeah. So, not specific enough, I apologize.
Wait, that's Brooklyn, so he's right.
This is why I just said it's not specific enough. I said that. That is why I hesitated with the Queens and hesitated with Brooklyn, because it is Coney Island.
Why'd you hesitate with Queens?
You are a good Alex Trebek.
Thank you.
Why did you hesitate with Queens?
Because I realized that people were going to say the five boroughs when Matt said Queens. I'm like, oh, no. So that's why I hesitated with Queens.
Gotcha.
Anyway, we have two questions remaining. Matt, you have a 7-5 advantage.
Five and a half.
Nope. Five. Judges ruled against you. 7-5 advantage over Jake. 7-4 advantage over Scott. We're going to take the break here. When we come back, the final two questions. Can Scott defend his crown? Can Jake come in and take it home? Well, you're going to have to find that out when we come back. Fantasy Football Frenzy is up next. Stick around. More Roto Experts in the Morning coming live at Jake Seeley here in studio. Remember, Roto Experts in the Morning. We'll be back right after this.
In 2016, Scott Engel predicted an impressive second season from Melvin Gordon. Jake Seeley recommended Jordan Howard. Bobby McMahon forecasted a Jay Ajayi breakthrough. George Kurtz saw a big year coming from Matt Ryan. And Joe Galina picked Rishard Matthews as one of his top sleepers. These predictions turned fantasy owners into champions, and the same crew returns this year with more savvy calls in the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package at rotoexperts.com. Don't miss the calls that create winners. Register now and enter free radio at checkout for a special discount.
Two more questions left. Is Mike Lyon special edition? Jake Seeley in the house. I'm hosting because Mike Lyon is... Mike Florio is not here. His name's not Mike Lyon. All right. Question number 9 belongs to the all-in kid, Jake Seeley, who is 2 points down at the moment. Here we go, Jakey. Hit the music, Don Burns. Oh, my God. Here we go. Outside of Brandon Cooks, Ted Ginn had the longest reception of the season last year.
False.
Yeah, I think that's false. I'm going false as well.
False.
False around the boards. It is, in fact, false, as there was one player that had a longer reception than Ted Ginn, not named Brandon Cooks. Jake, you have the first shot at it.
Tyrell Williams.
It was not Tyrell Williams.
Kenny Stills.
It was not Kenny Stills.
CJ Procise.
It was not CJ Procise.
Travis Benjamin.
It was not Travis Benjamin.
Marquise Goodwin.
It was not Marquise Goodwin.
Marquise Goodwin. I was naming the six people with 40 plus reception. I actually know those, so unfortunately.
Jordy Nelson.
It was not Jordy Nelson. The answer we were looking for, Ted Ginn's was at an 88-yard touchdown. Mike Wallace had a 95-yard touchdown last season.
Like week 3 or 4, I think.
Mike Wallace was the answer we were looking for. We head to question number 10. Matt is up 8-6-5. Matt Modica
winning.
Outside of running backs that played for the Buffalo Bills, Ezekiel Elliott averaged the most yards per carry last year.
That is false.
False.
Well, I have to go true just for the heck of it at this point. Although it doesn't matter.
It is, in fact, false. There were two players that had higher yards per carry than Ezekiel Elliott that were not Bills. Can you name one?
I should know this, actually.
What was Ezekiel's yards per carry?
Ezekiel Elliott's yards per carry was 5.1.
Okay.
Jordan Howard?
Jordan Howard is correct. He was at 5.2. That is one for you, Matt Modica. Scott.
Devonta Freeman.
That is not correct.
Do they have to have a minimum qualification? Eddie Lacy?
Don't know. I assume they do. So I'll give you that back. Okay. Enough games. Assume they do.
Okay.
I don't have it at this year.
Yeah, because Eddie Lacy, I think, was like 5'2 or 5'3 before he got hurt.
Yeah, so assume they do.
Le'Veon Bell.
No, sir.
David Johnson?
No, sir.
got nothing.
CJ Persis.
I already said him.
I know. Yeah.
Not Mike Gillisley.
He paid for the Bills.
Yeah, I know. I'm saying no Bills there. Melvin Gordon.
It was not Melvin Gordon.
He was on the floor.
Jay Ajayi.
It was not Jay Ajayi. The answer is Bilal Powell at 5.5. Five and a half yards per carry.
That's a bad guess, Melvin Gordon.
The winner and new is Mike Lyon champion.
Or is Matt Winning champion?
Yeah.
It's Matt Modica who would defeat Scott Angle and Jake Seeley here today.
For the first time ever. That's my first loss. It is my legging.
Oh, wow. First loss.
There you go, Matt.
Matt Modica is a very, very tough opponent. I put two extra questions in here, by the way. They were really hard. Rams punter Johnny Hecker had the most punts inside the 20. That's true, by the way. And Landon Collins.
Punting question.
And Landon Collins led the NFL in tackles last
year. Yes.
Is false. Oh. He had 100 of them. He finished second. Quan Alexander had more at 108. It was very, like I said, two very tough overtime questions for you. That's going to wrap up the show. Jake and Matt live in studio with Corey for the Fantasy Football Frenzy. So get very, very excited for that. I know Corey's got a lot of great stuff planned, and I expect him to go off on Ezekiel Elliott very, very soon. Well, Roger Goodell defending Ezekiel Elliott.
He's out researching this.
For Jake Seeley and Corey Parson, for Scott Angle, and for Matt Modica, my name is Greg Sussman. Have a fantastic rest of your day, and we will see you next time on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Bye-bye.